Amen. Our reading will be taken from the gospel, meaning from the epistle of James, chapter number 2, starting at verse number 14. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor, it's about faith through actions. Neighbor, it's about faith through actions. Amen. You may be seated.
Yes.
Come on, people. We got action.
We have entitled our message this morning, it's about faith through actions. You know, the writer of this epistle is James. Some identify this James as being the actual brother of Jesus. Some debate he was or wasn't, but I'm not here to talk about that. What I'm here to talk about is that James wrote this epistle. This epistle is considered to be a general epistle, which means that he was not writing it to a particular church. So as each church received this letter, they would take it and share it with other churches. The problem that James saw with the church in the late first century and entering into the second century, and also is still applicable today, is that a lot of folk will talk about it, but how many folk will be about it? Are you following me? You see, that we don't need no more folk just shouting and hollering on Sunday. We need some folk who are pounding the pavement Monday through Saturday and doing the work of the Lord. Now, when we see this and way that we understand this is that, let me give you a simple analogy. During the wintertime, again, I'm not talking about evergreen churches, evergreen trees, because evergreen trees are green all the time, right? Let me just put that out there. In the wintertime, all trees are barren, no leaves, because during the wintertime, trees go dormant. But what you don't know about a tree in the wintertime is that you don't know which trees are dead or which trees are alive. because none of them have leaves. Oh, somebody working with me. So that being the case, what we're seeing is that James was letting the church know is that if we are blending in too much with the world, how does the world know we have changed? I'm going to let that sink in for a second. The world needs to know that we ain't dead, but we are. You see, but what James here is dealing with, some have stated that James here is contradicting what Paul says about faith. Because Paul says that we can't work our way to salvation. He's correct. Paul states that faith, in order to accept Christ, we have to embrace him through faith. Right? So in order to accept Christ, you have to believe and receive him through faith. Now, what James is doing is that he's utilizing that as the springboard. Because when we come to the Lord, we have to believe and receive him through faith. And once we now have faith and we've been blessed, anointed, and appointed, the question that James is asking, now that you've been saved, what are you doing? Who are you helping? Because it's not good enough to walk around and tell folks, I got faith. I got faith in the Lord Jesus. He the head of my life. He my all in all. It's not enough to talk about it. And you don't believe me. So let's go here and look right here at this scripture. Right? Look at verse 14. It says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have what? Works. Can faith save you? Now, look at what he is saying here. What he is saying is that if you have faith and you've been anointed and you know how good God is, look what he says in 15. If a brother or a sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? Do you see that? James is dealing with a perspective of that if you are saved and you know that it's the Lord who is the head of your life, you know that the reason why you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table, cool house in the summer, warm house in the winter, and money in your pocket. When you think about all of that stuff, tell me why in the world, if you see somebody in need, you're going to tell them, I'm praying for you. Go on your merry way. They naked and hungry. But you love the Lord. James is saying, what evidence, what actions, what works do you have to truly substantiate what you are saying out of your mouth? The church does not need any more folk who are going to talk about it. The church needs more folk who are going to be about it. And what James here is saying, what he is saying is what he has saw happening in the church. He saw too many people coming to the church expecting it to be a live tree. But when they get there, they find out them trees is just as dead as the ones that are everywhere else. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what James is making us aware is that as being the people of God, we are to be the trees that are forever green, that are always bringing forth good fruit. Not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but at 100-fold. Which means that the evidence ought to be there that our faith is not just talked about. We are putting our faith in action through the works that we are doing. Now, what we have to understand is that we don't need any more folk just want to be up in here. Just clap their hands and go home. And then we see you next Sunday. We want more folk to get involved in the ministry. Not because that's what we want you to do, but it's what God requires of you. I listened to Reverend Rose earlier when he talked in our service, and he had no clue where I was going today. About how his father took his wife, and 8 kids, 10 of them, packing into a car. And he's taking them to church. And he's doing it consistently, praying that he got enough gas to get there. And once he get there, and once they get back in the car, praying that the car start and get all of them back home. Because he wanted to be an example of them, to show them that faith without works is somebody going to work with me. Because he wanted to be known that we are not dead trees. We are trees that are alive. And he wanted to make sure that he was being an example to his children, to let them know the significance of how we need to live our lives. If we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you ought not to live a life like you are dead. You are alive. And the way you show folk you are alive is that you got to activate the faith in you and move forward doing his work. Now, I want you to understand something. It's not just enough to know that God is God. You know why I want you to know that? Because go here and look at verse number 19 with me. He says, you believe that God is one. You do well, right? He says, even the demons believe and shudder. You see where he went with that? The demons believe that who God is, and whenever God get around, they running. But they choose not to serve him. So what James here is saying is that if you are a child of God, it's not just enough to say that you believe. Because there are folk who believe in God, believe that God is who he is, but they choose not to serve him. You see, because the reality is there are so many folk who are walking around trying to get help, trying to find their way, looking to make the life changes that are necessary. But if they're looking at all the trees and all the trees look dead, they don't know where to go. And the same thing is true about us. If folk look at the churches that all they do is shout and get loud every Sunday, whether they're in church an hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, but when folk come and are in need or want to be encouraged or want to grow, and folk look at them like, what you up in our house for? That's just like a tree that ain't got no leaves. You look dead, you might as well go on and what? Be dead. You see, but what we're seeing here is that more is required of what God is looking for from us. Because what he says in verse number 20, he says, do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Did you see what he said right there? He said, faith upon works without works is barren. Now, what I find interesting here is that when he makes this statement, look at where he goes next. Because after he makes the statement, he says in verse 21, was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that? Now, I got to stop there and put a pin in it. Can we go somewhere real quick? You see, when God called Abram, before he was named Abraham, he was 75 years old, and his wife was in her 60s, and they were barren. They had no kids. Can I flip and use another word? They were dead as far as reproducing. Nothing was reproduced from them. At that point in their lives were empty. Nothing was happening in their lives. And I know for years they tried to have children. And I want you to know, Reverend Rose wasn't no Viagra, wasn't no Cialis. She was in her 60s. She probably hadn't been through menopause. Come on now, work with me. So the evidence has shown that ain't nothing happening. And guess what? Ain't nothing going to happen. But I want you to understand something about faith. When you institute and imply faith to anything, faith can activate stuff that you thought couldn't happen. Because don't you know that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was roughly 90 to 91 years old, A girlfriend got pregnant and she had a baby. So what is that telling us? When we step out on faith, when we first all stepped out, Sister Davis, we was empty. We was dead. We were dead. We were dead in our sins. But when we embraced Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he showed us you are more than you think you are, you can accomplish great things. You can reach higher heights. Things which are impossible with man are possible with God. When you take the word of God and you step out on faith and move forward in actions and you do the work, that which you thought wasn't, God can make it into something. Look at all of us that have been here. Some folk gave up on us. Some folk thought you'd never amount to anything. But once you stepped out on, what did the Lord do? He brought you a mighty long way. He did what you thought wasn't possible. And what we're seeing here is that James is utilizing Abraham. And he said that Abraham, let me tell you how the story gets deeper. You see, Abraham was told by God to take his son, Isaac, to Mount Moriah, right? And sacrifice him. And what it says in verse 22, it says, you see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was brought to completion by his what? Works. Thus the spirit, the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as what? Righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better activate your faith. You see, because I want you to understand, you know what? The activation of faith, how we can relate it. Anybody ever got a new credit card? And when you get that new credit card, it's got a label on it telling you to go to this website to activate it or call this 800 number to activate it. But I want you to know, if you don't call the number and if you don't go to the web page and you try to use the card, what's going to happen? It won't work. Why? Because it has not been. How many of us are trying to do things in our lives, but we have not activated our faith? How many of us are trying to rely on ourselves and not on God? How many of us think we know what's best rather than looking to God? You haven't activated your faith, and that's why nothing is working, and everything still looks dead. Do you see it? It's right here in Scripture. And what is happening here is that Abraham, who waited until 100 years, he was 100 years old, to have a son with his wife, Sarah. And now, while his son is a teenager, God says, we're going to see. You stepped out on faith when you believed me to have a child. Now, is your trust more in the child or is your trust more in me? Take this child of yours and sacrifice him. Because that way I know that you truly have faith in me. And don't y'all know when he got up there and he tied his son and put him on the altar? What happened? God said, wait a minute, I know now. I know now. Isn't that what he told him? And when he looked over, he saw a ram. Oh my goodness, he went and he killed that ram and he sacrificed that ram. You see, all God wants to know is, will you activate your faith? Will you truly put your trust in me? Even when you don't understand, will you walk by faith and not by sight? Even when others don't understand what you're doing, will you trust me? Will you go with me? Will you allow me to be the head of your life? Will you do what I'm calling you to do? Other folk might call your names. Others might say it don't make no kind of sense. But that's all right, because I know how I got this far. I didn't get this far on my good looks. I didn't get this far because I lost a little weight. I got this far because I've stepped out on faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, remember, Rose, I wanted to get lost on the good looks part. I wouldn't, just said throw that out there. But what I'm saying is this. If we gonna move forward, church, we have to move forward by faith. And let me tell you what faith is not. I used Brother Chester this morning. I'm going to use him again right now. Brother Chester was sitting on his back porch. And he got a quarter acre back there that he wants to have a garden. So what he does, he sits on his back porch, Deacon Jones, and he prays every day, Lord, I want a garden back there. I want some tomatoes, some peppers. Look, this is my store. Oh, I love y'all. Y'all a mess. See, but this is good. I'm glad we got this kind of rapport. They're going to tell me potatoes. Right? He's telling God all the vegetables he wants in his garden. But Brother Red, he never gets off the chair in the porch. He sits there and says, Lord, I got faith in you. So I'm praying every day. And every day he comes, Sister Faye, he prays every day. Sitting on that porch, Lord, get my garden going, Lord. You're going to till it, ain't you, Lord? You're going to take care of everything, ain't you, Lord? He'd done this all throughout the spring. And he did it all summer long. And now it done got cold. And he still, Sharonda, has no garden. You know why he don't have no garden? The brother did not put in the work. He was talking about it, but he was not being about it. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. He brought to bring it a little closer. You see, if we're talking about going over here in this big empty lot, because we got now a total of 6 acres and we're going to build this new sanctuary and do all this stuff, and not for the purpose of patting ourselves on the back, but glorifying God and expanding the ministry so that we can have even more impact and even more influence and assist folk here in this community, city, state, country, and the world. In order for that to happen, we can't just sit there and say, Lord, we want you to build the building. Lord, we know you're going to build the building. Lord, we know you're going to make it all possible, but I ain't writing no checks. I ain't doing nothing to help, but I'm going to sit there and want God to do it all and then wonder why I didn't happen and say, see, I told you. It ain't going to work if we don't put in the work. God has made us able. God has made us capable. And what God says, in order to activate and find out the potential you have inside of you, you got to step out on and you got to put in the faith through actions. And this is what we're seeing in Abraham. Everything in him was dead, remember? But the Lord brought everything to life. And then the life that God blessed him with, God spared it. And used something else to just let him know, I know what I'm going to do for you when you put your trust in me. But then it gets a little more interesting. Because he goes and utilizes another example. He used and talks about a prostitute. God might have used a prostitute, but James, you didn't have to talk about this prostitute. Because it goes on. Can we go and look at it? And I'm going to break it on down. And he says in verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is what? Dead. So faith without works is also dead. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Don't get caught up on my yesterday. You see, what I want you to know that in Rahab's yesterday, she was a prostitute. We know how she made money. Is it clear? But guess what? She heard about the God of Israel. She heard about how the God of Israel parted the Red Sea and how the Israelites walked across on dry land And when the Egyptians tried to follow them, they were drowned because the Lord now closed the sea and drowned them in the sea. She heard about how God had them be victorious from that point up to this point. So she heard the word of God. And once she heard what God can do, when she saw those two spies, messengers, two spies that had come to Jericho to spy out the land, to see what was there, she could have been like all the other folk of Jericho and believed that Sister Davis, their wall would not fall. But Deacon Booth, she realized something. The God of the Israelites had power. The God of the Israelites, if he got the power to part the sea, he got the power to knock down this wall. And what she did was this. It caused her, I want you to know, Deacon Aldridge, to believe that the God of Israel is able. You see, God don't care what your yesterday was. He wants to know, will you accept him in your today? Because I want you to know, everybody in here has a yesterday. And since we had a yesterday, what has happened to us is this. Some of us feel that because of my yesterday, I can't make an impact on my today. Even though now I have faith to believe. But do I have faith to put that faith into actions? You see, she had to first believe before she could help the spies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, you can't move forward in faith until you first what? Believe. And once you believe God is able and that God's got the power, now you can move forward in faith. Faith through actions. And once she did, she saw these dudes and realized where they had come from. She said, guess what, y'all? I'm going to look out for y'all. But I want y'all also to look out for me. Because I know what your God can do. I know what your God will do. And they told her, all right, when we come back, don't bring nobody but your family and don't say nothing to nobody. And put this scarlet cloth or napkin in your door and y'all going to be all right. Don't you know when everybody else was on that wall saying, look at them fools walk around our city one time. And they did that for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they walked around the city of Jericho, the walled city, for 7 times. And on that seventh day, guess what? They did what, y'all? They shouted. You see, what I want you to understand is something. The Israelites, in order for them to cause that wall to fall, they had to walk by and not by. Because on their own, they were incapable of penetrating that wall. And they knew the only way they're going to get through that wall is that God had the power. They could not rely on themselves, but they had to rely on God. And after they went around that seventh time, they heard that horn. And you know what they did, y'all? They shouted. And once they shouted, the wall came down flat. And that's when Rahab told her family, y'all just sit here because we're going to be all right. I told y'all that wall was going to fall because the power of the God of the Israelites, he had the power to do it. Don't you get scared now. We are now in a safe place. You see, in order for that sister to be safe and her family to be safe, she had to step out on. You see, what I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, there might be some rumbling and grumbling all around you. But as long as you are walking by faith, you are under the ark of safety of the one who will keep you safe, and he has kept you safe. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand that it's nobody but God who is keeping me? Nobody but God who is blessing me? Nobody but God making a way for me? If you know that God is good, put your hand back and say thank you. You see, my brothers and sisters, what God is wanting from us, and it concludes in verse 26, for just as the body is without, the spirit is dead. So faith without works is also dead. You see, when you know how good God has been to you, when you know how far God has brought you, you are not going to walk around and act like you are dead. And the way that you walk around and act like you are dead is when you don't activate your faith. How many Christians do you know who know the Lord, who ain't doing nothing for the Lord? The Lord wants you to truly make an impact. Why? Because all of us in here are God's investment. And God is expecting a profitable return on his investment. And as we truly step out on faith, we will bring God profitable returns. Why do you think God is blessing Broad Rock Baptist Church? Because of the fact that we are making it our business to truly bring God profitable returns. And we are continuing to activate our faith. And I want you to understand something. My brothers and my sisters, if you want to continue to see how God is going to move in this place, we got to move forward by faith. And if we're going to continue to move forward by faith, I want you to know that God is blessing us. God will continue to bless us. And I want you to know we'll be moving into that building next door that I don't see yet, but you don't see yet. But I'm believing God's going to put it up over there. And I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, in order for us to get there, it's going to take what? Faith, and putting faith into action. We got to put forth the work. And as we trust in the Lord, I want you to know he will make a way. Haven't you been through some hell and high water in your life? Haven't sometime the money got funny? But didn't the Lord make a way out of no way? Didn't the Lord bless you? You see, my brothers and sisters, all the Lord is looking for is some folk who will activate their faith and walk by faith and not by sight. Do I got anybody in God's house who truly going to allow God's faith to be activated in their lives? Do I got anybody in God's house who knows our God is able? Do I got anybody in God's house who know the only reason why I am where I am is because I walk by? You see, my brothers and sisters, hold on. I'm going to be done in a minute. What I want you to understand is this. All of us came to God barren and empty. Quote unquote, dead. God is the one who had to truly breathe the breath of life into us. And when he breathed that breath of life into us, it's now left up to us to do something with it. If you're going to walk around just tell everybody how saved you are, but ain't doing nothing with it, you could have just stayed where you was, dead. So what he is saying to all of us, let it be known. Not by walking around with a sign saying, hey, look at me, I'm saved. Look at me, I'm going to help you. No, you just go around and allow your light to shine and God will guide you in all that you are to do and how you are to do it. Why? Because it's about faith through actions. God needs some folk who are alive in the church, because there are some folk who will be coming to the church looking for something that is alive. And if they don't find it, they think that the church ain't no different than what goes on in the world. But I want you to know, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm alive. You see, when you know that you're alive, you better live like you're alive, which means that when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you're going to tell the Lord is, because I am. Wait a minute, y'all didn't know. Wait a minute, hold on. I got to go back up here now. I thought I was bringing it to a close, but I got to come back up here now. Let me help you understand. And we're getting ready to shut it down. Let me help you understand. The point I'm making is this, is that when you know you are able to do what you do because God has blessed you, and that when you're able to do what you do, you're not concerned with how folk remember how dead you used to be. Because there are a lot of folk who want to talk about when you was dead. But now that you are alive, that you're going to move forward alive, and you're going to move forward with a smile. You're going to move forward with the joy of the Lord, because the Lord has given you a joy and a peace. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. And since I know it's nobody but God who has brought me this far, I'm going to live my life like I am alive. Because I know there's nobody but the Lord who is making a way for me from one day to the next. So every day that I live, I appreciate being able to see another day. That's why when I come up in church, I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me it's time to praise. I'm going to praise God because he's been mighty good to me. He allowed me to see another day. So I got to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise because he's been mighty good. Do I got anybody in God's house who God has been good to? Do I got anybody in God's house who know how far God has brought you? I tell you, it's about faith through actions. We serve a mighty good God. You might as well remain standing. Can we get ready to open up the doors of the church? We serve a God of action. Don't you know it's left up to you to activate? Not now, Ruth. It's left up to you to activate your faith. I can't activate it for you. You can't activate it for me. We all have to do it for ourselves. You have to be responsible for you. And once you're responsible for you, and I'm responsible for me, then we can lock arms. And we move forward in faith. And as we come together in numbers, moving forward in faith, we know that nothing can block us. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can get in our way that God can't remove. Because God is wanting us to move forward by faith. So we have to move forward with faith through action.